Well, it is our seventh year as a church, and I'm really excited. August 19th. August 19th is our official start date for public worship. Now, we did start meeting as a group of people about 4 months before we launched as a Bible study. And if you see up there on the, what is that called? TV. Sorry, first day new mouth. You'll see on the left-hand side, that was our first Sunday gathering. And that was at Jordan Valley Church. They were our host church for our first year. They met Sunday mornings and we met Sunday afternoons. And this allowed us to transition out of our church that sent us Redemption Hill down in Eagle Mountain. It allowed us some time to kind of focus more on the developing of a team and getting inviting people to come to church and also finding ways to get involved in the community. And then about a year after that, we began meeting in South Mountain Community Church's building in West Jordan. They had a Spanish fellowship that met at 11 and they invited us to meet at 9. And so we moved there after our first year. And then everybody knows what happened in 2020, this thing called a pandemic. And so 2 weeks to flatten the curve took us out for about a year. And we were homeless for a good long period of time, meeting in parks and meeting in little event centers and backyards and wherever else we could find a place to meet. And there were some times during 2020, I'm like, I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if this is going to last. And it's just like the Holy Spirit was just really motivating me. Like, if it's my work, just keep showing up, keep being faithful, keep loving people, keep talking about Jesus. And Jesus rebuilt our church. And you see the fruit of it here today. You know, we've been here for 2.5 years and, you know, we got some news that we're going to have to move out early. And instead of September 30th, God has now provided an extra 6 months. And so we're here till March 30th and God is good. And so these are all just little snapshots. I mean, they're Kodak pictures of God's faithfulness, of God's work in the life of our church, and really our church is made up of people. And so every person that has been a part of what God has done through River Community Church is a part of the story and has a story to tell. And, you know, a church is a funny thing too, because there are some contexts where you may spend your whole life in exactly the same church. And there are other people, because you move or for whatever reasons, you will move through several different local churches. But what you find is that God is working in every single one. And in some ways, the church local churches are healthy and they're doing things biblically, and you can see the fruit of that. And other churches you may have encountered, they're not doing things so biblically, and there's some a lack of health. And sometimes God will put you in a church to be a part of changing that. And sometimes God will put you in a church to see that's his work, not yours, and you need to move on. And so we've seen all different versions of that, my wife and I, over the last 27 years of marriage and about as much years of ministry, too. Just a little story real quick before I get into what I plan to talk about today. My wife and I, we got married in 98. We met in church. It's a good place to meet somebody to spend the rest of your life with. Both felt the call to ministry in some form. I got involved as a pastoral intern in our church. I was taking care of children's ministry, youth ministry, worship ministry, whatever ministry. And I was like, I just want to serve. I want to be a pastor. I don't know what that looks like. And well, here's a plunger in one hand and a Bible in the other hand and get to work, you know? And so cleaned bathrooms and took care of kids and learned how to teach the Bible and had good mentors in my life. And then I got a little jaded. And so we left the church and went to another church, and I went to go become a police officer instead. At 23 years old, I was a police officer recruit with Virginia Beach Police Department. And in the middle of that, I had my own wrestling with God and Jacob moment. You guys know the story of Jacob? He wrestled with God and God touched his hip socket and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. Well, God allowed me to have a back injury. And I herniated several discs in my back and tore a bunch of muscles and still kind of deal with it. But it was my Jacob moment where God said, whose life is this? And my answer to him was, it's yours. And he allowed those circumstances. He allowed all that. But he had planted us in a wonderful church, Calvary Chapel of Virginia Beach, with Pastor Thomas Powell and his wife, Pam. And they were wonderful to us, picked us up off our feet, dusted us and said, what does God have for you? How can we help? And so in 2005, we moved to North Carolina about an hour south and we planted a church, Calvary Fellowship of Elizabeth City. And we were there for 5 years, and then God opened a door for us to move to Utah, which we did 15 years ago. And I went into full-time ministry at Calvary of Salt Lake, and I just, you know, thought, I've reached my goal. This is what I've always wanted. And the Lord grew me and shaped me and showed me that he had given me a heart for Utah. And so when we moved on from Calvary and were looking for a way to do ministry different, we moved into church planting and got involved with Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain. And I thought for myself, I'm not going to do church planting anymore. I mean, Angie and I, we talked about it. She's like, yeah, you don't really mean that. Every time you look at a shopping center or, something like that, you see a church. And you're right, I do. So here we are, shopping center church, right? And but through that process, God had showed me and my wife as well that he brought us to Utah for something more than just a job, more than just the local church. He brought us here to plant roots, and he brought us here to be fruitful in our family and to be fruitful in our community for the gospel. And so we have been fruitful in our family. We have 7 children, 9 grandchildren. My 9th grandchild's due in December. Yeah, I know. I'm only 27. Isn't it crazy? Anyway, no, I'm not. But the Lord has been faithful to us, and River is a product of God's faithfulness. I did not think that I would be part of starting a brand new church from scratch again after reaching my dream job, to put it that way. And yet here we are with the church that God birthed in our hearts and gave us relationships and people in our life to help us get started, and people like you, even now, you know, seeing what God is doing here through River. The verse that set off God's work in my heart to start River Community Church is from Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, and it should be up here for you. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If you look back at that previous verse, verse 18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. You know, at one time, this verse for me was forget the past, all the bad stuff of the past. But it's more than that. It means don't let the past work. Don't let your past life, don't even let your past accomplishments, don't even let the past of what God has done in your life keep you from seeing the new things he's doing today. Amen. Because I think we do look back and we remember things in the sense of, oh, look what happened. Hurt, victory, right? Accomplishments, defeats. But oftentimes we can look at the past and we can use it to say, well, this is the way it's always been. And so this is the way it always has to be. And that's not the case with God. Because there's some things about God that are unchangeable, that will never change, that he will always stay the same in. But God is always working, and in his always working, he's always doing new things. And you and I, if we're holding on to some vision of the past, we may actually miss out on what God wants to accomplish in our lives in the moment and for our future. And so there may be some very good things that we're holding on to, that God is saying, remember not. Let them go. Leave them behind you. Let them be what they are. And then the new verse, behold, I'm doing a new thing. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? This was a thing where at the time that I was contemplating actually leaving Utah 8 years ago, this word, do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? The Lord was working in my heart that I can have my own plans, but am I tuning into him? Do I perceive what he's doing? And if what he is doing, in my understanding, is always better than anything I'm doing, then why am I making plans to do my own thing? without first checking in with him. And so I want to encourage you in your life, as we did, this is what led to what is now River Community Church. There was a call to my heart from God, perceive that I'm doing a new thing. Tune in. Tune into the Holy Spirit. Don't let your emotions regulate you. Don't let your sense of what happened in the past or your expectations or your plans for the future dial into God. Perceive what he is doing. Understand what he is doing, because what he does, ways in the wilderness, that's direction, and rivers in the desert, that's life where there's no life. I want to be there. I want to walk on God's path. I want to have God's life. And that doesn't always mean it's going to turn into a church plant. And when I speak of church plant, I'm not talking about like this one right here, that one right there, but a church that is planted to start. We've always joked about our church plant over there in the corner. We haven't quite known what to do with it. He's moved around a little bit. Probably need to plant him somewhere else and leave him there. No, I'm just kidding. It's a beautiful plant. But, you know, the idea is that God will plant you somewhere. And when you're planted, you're intended to grow and be fruitful and produce the fruit that the plant is intended to produce. And so if we want a way in the wilderness, we want rivers in the desert, we need to be open to letting go of our past and tuning into what God is doing now. And so John 7, 37 through 39, something that is always going out to every person, Jesus says these words, another influence on the name of our church. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." You see, it's not just God's desire that we walk in a way of life and we discover his life source, his rivers in the desert, but that source is now within us, flowing out of us. That our very lives are a conduit for the river of life that comes through Jesus. And so at this point, it says, he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But now that Jesus has been glorified, one of the gifts that he gives to his church is the gift of the presence and the power of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a daily basis. And that is a life-giving fountain placed in us that now our life can express the life of God, the rivers of life, the rivers of living water. And it begins with faith in God. Now, our next picture will be our first Sunday, August 19th, 2018. Again, we were sent by Redemption Hill in Eagle Mountain. We were supported with people from Redemption Hill, as well as Risen Life Church up in Holiday. And then we were hosted by Jordan Valley, where we met for our first year. Now, you'll notice there's two screens up there. Let's zoom in on that. Next slide. On that slide, we put this, people united to multiply God's kingdom one heart at a time. This was the new thing that God was doing in my heart, is that Jesus cares, and you watch his ministry in the gospel, about each individual person. Now, the more people I get to know, the fewer names I'm able to remember easily. And I try. But God remembers your name. God knows who you are. God knew that you were going to show up to church this morning. I see a lot of new faces in the room, and I don't know everybody's story. Some of you might be wondering, what am I even doing here? How did I get here? God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your existence. You are of worth and value to him. You're made in his image to reflect and to represent his character and his nature and his love and his truth to the world. He made you for that, and you're here on purpose. And not just here in this building, but you're here on earth on purpose, by God's purpose. And God cares about each heart. And so when we launched River, and it's still something that I say often, and I know that, when Jordan was helping me redo our church's website, we had to, make sure that what are we about? We're about multiplying God's kingdom, growing and multiplying God's kingdom one heart at a time. It's about people. It's individuals. Jesus went after the woman at the well. Jesus went after each one of his disciples and invited them personally to follow him. Jesus would leave the big crowds and go minister to one or two or a small group of people at a time because Jesus was mindful of each individual heart. God cares about our heart, cares about your heart, cares about you. And if that is a part of our personal sense of mission and purpose in this life, that God cares about the one person, it changes the way we greet the barista. It changes the way that we pay the toll at the gate. It changes the way that we answer the phone when somebody calls or when we're calling somebody else. We begin to see people not as just somebody anonymous, but as a heart, as a human being, as a person that God cares for and wants here on purpose and put in your path and my path on purpose so they could encounter Jesus somehow through our lives. And so we started off as people united to multiply God's kingdom one heart at a time. And that's what I celebrate. That's one of the reasons, and you'll see it again here during our baptism. We've had baptism photos from the last 7 years circulating. And it's not all of them. I think there's about 28 to 30 of them on the wall there, and you'll see those in a little bit. But those 28 to 30 people represent the transformative power that God does in each life, in each person. You know, as I remember one time, it's like, how many people are we going to have in our baptism this week? Can we get more than 10? Can we get more than 20? And I rejoice now. One person, like Sheena, getting baptized today, or people that we've been able to baptize, some in private. Some people, you know, their family dynamic or their religious affiliation before becoming a Christian has kind of prompted them. Can I have a private baptism? Can I have a quiet baptism with just a couple people? But the point is that they've made a decision to follow Jesus, and their life is better for it. And I'm thankful that God has brought every person through the doors of River Community Church, whether it was these doors or community center doors or chocolate house doors or park doors. Yeah, there's no doors at the park, but except the bathroom doors. But anyway, I digress. So moving to now, gather to worship, grow in community, and go on mission, as you see on this banner right here, has been how I've been able to define the process, what a healthy Christian church would look like, what a healthy Christian life would look like. Now, you know, other churches probably have said the same thing. Other churches say it different. But if you think about it, when you become a Christian, you recognize you're made for worship. You are made for a relationship with God. And your life, not just your songs, songs are great for worship, but your life is an expression of worship. And so the local community is a place, the local church community is a place where we can gather as a part of our worship expression. And on Sundays, we facilitate worship through music, and this is worship too. We devote ourselves to the Word of God to let God speak to us and transform us so we can respond to Him even more faithfully and more obedient than before we encountered Him. So worship, growing in community, that's not just discipleship. That's part of it. It is truly finding a family, a Christian family, to share in your life together. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that you got to have people over at your house every night and then everybody's got to be involved in every little detail of your business. Some people, you kind of like that. Okay, that's fine. Other people, you're like, put a big wall around you and nobody's allowed in, right? But you realize if we've been made for a relationship with God, we've also been made for relationship or community with people that God has made. And so as a local church, we want to facilitate that community and we want to grow. And so growth means that we may not look the same 6 months from now as we do today. There may be changes that God brings in our life, and that's part of our growth together. But growing in community, it's an emphasis to not just look vertical and focus on our worship of the Lord, but to look horizontal at our fellowship with one another, at what we have in common, what we don't have in common, and how we complement each other to accomplish the third part, and that is mission, that we are called, every one of us, to go on mission. Here's your mission, should you choose to accept it. And this message has not self-destructed in over 2,000 years. go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. That's what Jesus said. And I will be with you, is his promise, until the end of the age. That's your mission. That's our mission. It's not the pastor's mission, the evangelist's mission, or the missionary's mission. It is your mission. It is my mission together. And so the church should be a place to help encourage and to equip one another for the mission of going into the world. You'll notice on the back of our signs when you leave, it says love is our mission. You know, there's a lot of things that are our mission, but it's just a reminder, just a quick reminder. God has called us to love. Love him, love one another, and love the world that he loves so much. So we go on mission to love and to show love and to be an example of God's love to the barista, to the teacher, to the auto mechanic, to our neighbor, to whoever God puts in our path. One of the things I was looking at over the last couple of weeks as just kind of anticipating this Sunday was, you know, I was talking to a pastor about like culture and values and those things. And here's an interesting thing about culture. You guys familiar with the word of culture? Culture is like a fish tank. The water is the culture. The water is the environment that you're in. And what you value and what you focus on has an effect on the water, has an effect on the culture. So you're all a bunch of fish in a fish tank. Oh, it's kind of a funny little illustration here. But when I think about culture, I look at where we started when we were talking about our shared values 7 years ago. And I want to show these to you. We wrote these on a whiteboard and somebody snapped a photo of it. So that's actually somebody's handwriting there. But we wrote down that our shared values were relationship with God and with people, devotion to the things of God and to the people of God, character, that we want to see the character of Christ formed in each one of us, and we want to help each other see the same thing. Discipleship means that there is a process of leading a person from unbelief to faith in Christ, and we've all been called to discipleship. We're not just to sit around and wait for somebody to do it for us, but to take what God has given to us and help another person follow Jesus. But then something at the bottom, simplicity. How many of you guys recognize that? Are we a pretty simple church? I hope we are, because I have complicated church for myself. I grew up in church. I've seen all the different flavors of church, and I have at times complicated church for myself. But I've also seen, and we've been in churches where we got off track and we lost a touch with what Jesus was simply doing. And so you even see that in our motto, simply following Jesus. Like, if we got to boil down what we're all about, let's follow Jesus. Let's follow Jesus together. So where do we go from here? Hey, where do we go from here? I think that's a good question. Go back to Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 18 through 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't hold on to those things, because why? God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do ye not perceive it? He will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, I've shared this before, and if you haven't heard it before, you're hearing it now. It's not the first time we've brought it up. But we're in discussions with several other pastors about the potential of merging several churches together. And what does that look like for us moving forward? Will it happen? If it does, what does it look like? How does it impact our heart and our vision to multiply the kingdom? How does it help their heart and their vision as pastors to multiply the kingdom of God? It's important for us to be open to the new things that God may be doing. I believe very strongly that one of the reasons God gave us 6 extra months here is because a conversation like that cannot be rushed. It must be prayed for. It must be influenced by wise counsel from within our churches, but also from without. Because it's not a small thing to plant you, this group here on a Sunday morning, immediately into another church next Sunday, as much as it isn't a small thing to do the same for them. And that is what would happen if multiple congregations came together. And I know, having talked to many of you, I know that there's an excitement and there is an anticipation that if something like that does happen, that it would actually be a very good thing. it would be a God-honoring thing. And so I invite you to be praying about that, about what that means for us over the next 7.5 months, because that's how much time we have left in here now, praise the Lord. We have 7.5 months to pray and to consider that opportunity that God seems to have put in front of us, at least to have the conversation and to make connections with other churches and pastors in the area. And so remember not the former things. Don't look back at the past as the way that it's always got to be, right? Don't look at the way it's been as the way it's always got to be. Here's what can stay the same. And this is when it comes back to talking about culture and values. We continue and will continue to welcome people to simply follow Jesus. Amen. Don't let me get off course with that, okay? We will be a welcoming church. If for nothing else, than to invite people to simply follow Jesus. Which you don't need a local church, you know, covering or a brand to do that. You don't need to be in an organized church per se. And, you know, we're not always an organized church. We're a little disorganized. But God is delighted when we bring people to Jesus and when we bring Jesus to people. And so we're going to continue to be a welcoming church for the purpose of helping people simply follow Jesus. We're going to gather to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's just the way that we've done it and the way that we're going to keep doing it. And there are some things that don't change. And I think that's one of them. We're going to worship God through His word and in spirit and in truth. We're going to grow in community, learning from God's word and serving one another in love. We're going to go on mission to make disciples, multiplying God's kingdom one heart at a time, and then repeat. Lead people to Jesus and go out on mission to lead people to Jesus again. And all the in-between, I think, is what every healthy Christian should do. And so our next steps as a church is to be open to what God will do. Am I open to what God will do next? Will God relocate us to West Jordan? Will God keep us in South Jordan? What will God do? Will God bring two or three churches together? Will God say, this was a good conversation. I have a purpose for each one of your congregations. We don't know. We're praying. We're seeking Him. We trust He's going to lead in that. But as we focus on walking in the words and the works and the ways of Jesus, as we focus simply on following Jesus, He's going to do the work, God. He's going to multiply the fruit in our lives. He's going to multiply our impact as a local church. It's His church. It's His work. You're His people. I'm His people. We're His people together. We're made for His glory. And so we're just going to continue to pursue Him. We're going to continue to, sometimes, some of the things we're going to continue to do things the way we've done them because that's what we've been called to. And also we're going to be flexible. We're going to be yielding and open and flexible to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do in the days, weeks, and months to come. I'm really grateful to each one of you for all that you have contributed to the life and to the success and to the fruitfulness of River Community Church. It's because of people that we're a local church making an impact one heart at a time. It's because you show up. It's because you pray. And I can't overemphasize how important the prayers are of every person who's ever been a part of our local church. Even people like, every month I get a card from a church in Kentucky reminding me, we're praying for you. And I'm going to have to now move my gallon-sized bag to like a 2-gallon-sized bag of all the cards I've kept from this one church for 7 years has been praying for River Community Church. And there's more like that. There's more people and more churches who've been praying for the success of our church. Not to become a large church with big buildings, but to be fruitful in the things that God has called us to be fruitful in. And so your prayers and the prayers of people around the world have contributed to our success here. And so in every little way that you and others have contributed to our life as a local church, I'm grateful and I thank God. Let's give God the glory. Let's applaud the Lord for His work in our church.
Amen. Father, we rejoice in you and all you've done through River Community Church, through the people of River Community Church. Lord, bringing one heart at a time, reaching one heart at a time. Lord, we ask that you would continue to be glorified in the life of our church. As we sang, Lord, lead us in your love to those around us. Lord, may our very lives be built and be powered, Lord, by the foundation of your love that you've shown to us so clearly through Jesus, our Savior. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit dwelling in each one of us. Lead us, Lord, and we will follow. And everyone said, amen.